I'd like to speak this evening on transformation, transformation and witness. And if you'll bear with me before I get into the detail of the scripture, a slight preamble. God desires nothing less for us than a complete, fundamental and inward transformation. For the unbeliever, transformation for the first time in coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. For the believer, knowing that they are transformed. And letting that transformation shine out in the way of witness. As I stand here, I feel very conscious that that transformation has not always shone out in me. I feel very humble in that regard. But nonetheless, I know it's true that that transformation which started in my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is complete, it's eternal, it's going all the way through. I desire for it to shine out. That's my desire. And I trust it's the desire of everyone here. By contrast, I would like you to think about the way the world thinks. Because, for a moment, because the world cannot offer fundamental, true transformation. For instance, if you were to go into your local bookshop and you went into a health self-help part of it, you might find ways to improve your language or improve your fitness or improve your business skills. But they cannot offer fundamental, true transformation. Why? Because they are building on what is natural, our fallen, sinful nature. By contrast, God has not built his transformation on this thing at all. He has built a transformation inwardly on the basis of a new creation so that we are changed inwardly in our hearts and our souls, that we can rejoice that we've been clothed in the worth of Christ. And I would like to refer, first of all, to two examples in the scripture of persons who were transformed in different ways. Firstly, that very well-known passage that we often refer to in John 4. I won't refer to the whole story because it's quite long. And I believe that everybody here would know it well. Chapter 4 and verse 6, Jesus therefore, being wearied with the way he had come, sat just as he was at the fountain. It was about sixth hour. A woman comes out of Samaria to draw water. And then, moving forward in the account, perhaps starting at 25, the woman says to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus says to her, I who speak to thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and wondered that he spoke with a woman. Yet no one said, what seekest thou, or why speakest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went away into the city, and says to the men, come, see a man who told me all things I have ever done. Is not he the Christ? They went out of the city and came to him. Here is a great example of somebody who was truly transformed by the love of Jesus. You think about who she was, how she regarded herself and others regarded her. She came in isolation. She came wanting to be a part. She didn't want to come to that well in the company of other women. Such was her shame. You can imagine her coming along that road with her head down, ashamed. That was her lot. Was, it seems, a mere existence to come for the very essentials at the very height of heat. Most unsuitable time to come to a well. Most unsuitable time to arrive at the well and depart. Such was her shame. And yet, we know the story well, don't we? How she tried to evade the Lord's penetrating questions with references to culture, religion, and tradition. But she couldn't avoid those penetrating questions, those moral things which the Lord raised up. She began to understand. You can see the light dawning on her heart. She began to understand that the person who stood in front of her was no ordinary man. She said herself, "I see, thou art a prophet." And then she refers in verse 25, and she says, "I know the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." And it just seems to me that she was reciting a creed or a tradition that she knew. Something that seems suitable to say at the time. And yet, there was that jaw-dropping moment, you might say, when the Lord came out with those words, "I who speak to thee am he." He was the one. He was indeed the Messiah, and he had come to meet her, that she might truly be transformed in heart and soul and spirit. And she was. How do we know? By two things. And sometimes it's the smallest things in Scripture which touch me. And one of those things is the fact that she left her water bottle. And that might teach us something about leaving the ordinary things of life here. When you think about it, that water pot would have been the most important vessel that she had, because she needed that water pot to transport the water which she physically needed. It was left behind. And I wonder if she was so entranced with a saviour. Her gaze was filled with this man. He knew all about her, and it was coming to her in love. I think she forgot about it, and she left, and she went to the men of the city. And that, my friend, is the second indication to me that she was truly transformed. She was a transformed woman. Here was a woman who had sought to be separate and apart, not meet anybody else, and yet now, because her heart had been touched, have been filled with the Saviour. She is seeking out those men of the city. She's going back to the city. "Come see a man who told me all things ever I have done." Come see a man who told me all things ever I had done. Have you thought about those words? She didn't want to even see anybody else, let alone talk about those things which had troubled her during her lifetime. And yet now, she is freely referring to them. Why? Because they've been addressed by the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and his future sacrifice at Calvary's cross, that she can freely refer to them, because they've been covered. They've been erased before the sight of a holy and righteous God. And I think that there was a difference that was seen in her face as she came to see those men of the city. I say that because Tim and Rachel and Mark and Joanna had a very real privilege about 2 years ago of meeting a woman in hospital who was concerned about the state of her soul. And we prayed with her in that hospital. And through the grace of God, and the grace of God only, she came to know the Lord as her Saviour. And I remember, and I heard, what she said. When she went home, she said to her son, "I feel different." Do you know what her son said? "You look different. You look different." There was something different about her face. It radiated the love of her Lord and Saviour. And so, not only was this woman here truly transformed by the love of her Saviour, but that transformation could be seen. And it shone out of her. You know, these men of the city wouldn't have come out to meet the Saviour if they hadn't seen a difference. They saw a difference in this woman. And you know, the blessing expanded. The blessing of the Lord saving one soul expanded to many. "Come see a man who told me all things I had ever done. Is this not he, the Christ?" They went out of the city and came to him. And then in verse 42, it says, "And they said to the woman, 'It is no longer on account of thy saying that we believe, for we have heard him ourselves, and we know that this is indeed a saviour of the world.'" Mm-hmm. So there we have the most extraordinary example of a lady who was transformed. Mm. And it was evident immediately that she had found her Lord and her Saviour. Mm-hmm. I want to refer to another example in Scripture of a man who was transformed, but really quite different. And again, we know him quite well. He's called Peter. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to refer to Matthew 26, Matthew 26 and verse 69. "But Peter sat without in the palace court, and a maid came to him, saying, 'And thou wast with Jesus the Galilean?' But he denied before all, saying, 'I do not know what thou sayest.' And when he had gone out into the entrance, another maid saw him and says to those there, 'This man also was with Jesus the Nazarene.' And again he denied with an oath, 'I do not know the man.' And after a little while, those who stood there coming to him said to Peter, 'Truly, thou too art of them, for also thy speech makes thee manifest.' Then he began to curse and swear, 'I know not the man.' And immediately the cock crew, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who had said to him, 'Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice.' And he went out without and wept bitterly." I thought it was useful to refer to Peter because once we see a snapshot of that woman who was truly transformed and was everything that she should be in terms of that transformation shining out to others, in Peter we have an example of somebody who failed. I say that with utmost humility, and I think anybody who refers to the failures of Peter would refer to them with great humility, because he was a disciple and future apostle of the Lord, and he displayed the most incredible courage and devotion to his Lord and Saviour. But because so much of his life is recorded in the Scripture, he is probably the figure who is covered most in the Scripture in terms of his life and his experiences with the Lord. because of that, we get a full picture. And we get a full picture of a man who showed great courage, who had great faith, who had great confessions, but also we see his failures as well. And I don't want to dwell too long on this passage. We know it well. But I'm just referring it to it for the purposes of contrast again. I want to refer to Acts chapter 4. This is when Peter was preaching forth in the establishment of the early church in Jerusalem. What a transformation. What a changed man. Nothing like the man that denied Christ. I want to read from Acts 4 and verse 5. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes were gathered together at Jerusalem, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the high priestly family. And having placed them in the midst, they inquired, "In what power or in what name have ye done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are called upon to answer as to the good deed done to the infirm man, and how he has been healed, be it known to you all and to all the people of Israel, that in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom ye have crucified, whom God has raised from among the dead, by him this man stands before you sound in body. He is the stone which has been set at naught by you the builders, and which has become the cornerstone. And salvation is in none other, for neither is there another name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And perhaps 18, but seeing the boldness of Peter and John and perceiving that they were unlettered and uninstructed men, they wondered and they recognized them, that they were with Jesus. Verse 19, but Peter and John answering said to them, "If it be righteous before God to listen to you rather than God, judge it. For as for us, we cannot refrain from speaking of the things which we have seen and heard." What a transformation. Here is Peter, as I say, preaching the gospel, preaching the truth of the gospel, which was so necessary in the establishment of the early church. And what a changed character he was. That transformation, I believe, in Peter started much, much earlier on. When he said, "Depart from me," and threw himself into the sea. "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." After that, they ran their boats on the shore. And it says, they left all and followed him. Again, it's sometimes the small things which say so much. And leaving all, they followed him. That is where I believe Peter's transformation, when he happened, when he decided that he committed his life to follow the Lord Jesus Christ as his Saviour. And yet things came in the way, didn't they? And sometimes it is like that for us. We go through trials, we go through temptations. We get used to our services. We get used to our services of worship and of praise. We get used even to the story of the cross. And clouds come in the way. You notice the weather recently? The weather in January and the weather in February. The sun is still burning in its heat, in all its glory. But none of us saw it very much, only for a few days. But now and again, like today, the clouds part and you can see the sun burning in all its glory. And for me, that's like transformation in the Christian. The sun is Christ himself, you might say. And when the clouds part, we can see the glory shining through And that's my desire for me, that I might shine forth, that transformation might be evident amongst men, might shine forth, that there might be nothing to obscure it. Mm-hmm. Incredible story of Peter. When he saw the Lord on his way to Calvary's cross, he showed more courage than most. They all fled and left, apart from Peter. And he followed. He followed even to the palace of the high priest. And that's as far as he could go. He went further than most. And I understand that he couldn't actually be inside at that trial. He would not have actually seen that the high priest's accusations against the Lord. But nonetheless, he was sitting outside. And he knew that the Lord had entered into the palace of the high priest. And then you fast forward to him in Jerusalem. He's preaching the gospel. Mm. And who called him into his midst? The palace. Those of the high priestly family. Mm. Annas, the high priest. Caiaphas, remember that name. Mm. He might not have seen those who were gathering. He might not have heard the words that Caiaphas said to the Lord. What need have we any more of witnesses? He might not have seen or heard the rending of those garments, but he knew the outcome, that the Lord was delivered to Pilate. And this would cause any mere man to fear and tremble when they inquired, in what power do you do this? Is he lacking in courage? Does he say, well, I really don't know? No, no, not at all. He is fully associating himself with a Saviour, with the name of his precious Saviour. And it says here, he is the stone which has been set at naught by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And salvation is in none other, for neither is there another name under heaven which is given among men by which we must be saved. And again, they recognized him. As Peter was recognized in his temptation, they recognized him again. But again, Peter is steadfast in his faith. He's courageous. He says, Peter and John, answering, said to them, if it be righteous before God to listen to you, rather than God judge you, for as we cannot refrain from speaking of the things which we have seen and heard. How wonderful. So there is an example, this time, of a man who is truly transformed by the love of God, who is transformed by faith in God. And despite his pathway and the ups and downs of the pathway, that transformation shone out. Mm. And that's an encouragement to us in our lives here. For those who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour, if obstacles have come in the way, as I say, trials and tribulations, doubts, all these things, the familiarity of the message, if these things have clouded our witness to men, then there is always the opportunity to return, to repent, to come back to God, that transformation might be evident amongst men, that witness might shine forth, that others might see the glory of God and the light of our Lord Jesus Christ in who we are, what we say, and what we do. There's another transformation. I was speaking of the transformation of our hearts and our souls. I was speaking of the transformation of our state before a righteous and holy God. Mm. And yet there is another transformation set before us. Mm. That's the transformation of our bodies. Mm. We have that to look forward to. I'd like to refer to Corinthians 15. It's quite a long passage, but perhaps I'll start at 49. Corinthians 15, verse 49. And as we have formed the image of the one made of dust, we shall bear also the image of the heavenly one. But this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit God's kingdom, nor does corruption inherit incorruptibility. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all fall asleep, but we shall all be changed. In an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this incorruptible must needs put on incorruptibility, and this mortal put on immortality. But when this corruptible shall have put on incorruptibility, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall come to pass the word written, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is thy sting? Where, O death, thy victory? And this is what I'd like to remind you of, this further transformation that is set before us. We have corruptible bodies, and we are reminded of it. But we have a prospect, bright, unfailing, that when the Lord comes, when he is given the instruction by his Father to come for his own, or when we pass away, or we pass from death to life, that we have this hope that our bodies will be transformed. This should be an encouragement, perhaps particularly to those who are older, who are feeling the ravages of old age. This is set before you, a transformation of your body, so that you will be made like Christ, that you will be given a body like him. It's interesting that God made man in his image right from the very beginning. And then it says in verse 49, as we have borne the image of the one made of dust, we shall bear also the image of the heavenly one. What a hope that is to our hearts, to be given a body like unto Christ's body. And there will be a witness also. Small things. Something else small to think about that touches my heart. I think of Peter, as Thomas, and when the Lord was resurrected, he was asked to take his hand and put it into the Lord's side. And then in Revelation, you have the Lamb standing as slain in that heavenly scene. In Zechariah, when the Lord comes to work out things with Israel, and as I understand it, before the establishment of the millennial age, they will say to him, what are these wounds in my hands? And that one replies, and he says, these are they that I can't remember the exact wording of it. Zechariah 12, I think it is. Yes, Zechariah 13, verse 6. And one shall say unto him, what are those wounds in thy hands? And he will say, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. I don't want to go beyond the bounds of Scripture at all, but I do know that when we see him there, although we will be given a body like unto Christ's body, he will be the one who's standing there, the one who has wounds, the Lamb standing as slain. How extraordinary. How extraordinary that he has that distinction. Well, may our hearts go out to him. May we be transformed. If there's any soul in this hall tonight who hasn't come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour, there is the opportunity to be transformed. To be transformed by repentance, to be transformed by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And for Christians here tonight who have had that saving faith, maybe a long time ago, you have been transformed. That transformation was set. Your standing before God is absolutely permanent from the point that you had faith in Christ. But that question remains open to me. Is that transformation showing before men? Is that transformation shining out before men? Is it shining out in what I do? Is it shining out in what I say? Is it shining out in who I am? In the Holy Spirit who works in me? Is it shining out before men? That is God's desire. For me, it's the desire for everyone in this hall tonight, that we might be a witness to our Lord Jesus Christ, our blessed, living Lord and Saviour, who is shortly to come for us. We know not how long it will be before he comes to call us to be with himself. Times are quickly advancing towards the end of the day of grace as we speak of it. The time is short. Now is the time to show that we have been truly transformed by God's love. And let it shine out before men, for his name's sake.
Amen.